Hello and welcome. Thanks for joining us here at Believers Victory Church. Today we have an inspiring, powerful message that will change your life. Let's listen in as Pastor Peggy Heal teaches us from the Word of God.
We're talking about why we want to. We say here at BVC all the time, it's part of our culture, it's our DNA, it's what runs through us, amen? When we say culture, that's what we mean. It's like how we do things. You know, every family has different culture. You know, I know in my family, we're kind of loud. Shock. We're a little on the loud side. We like to get together. We love to have fun. We love to just play games and do stuff and boat and motorcycle and all that kind of good stuff. And, you know, I remember at one time a new family member came in and they were just like, oh, my goodness, you guys are so loud. And we're just like, really, we are? You know, I mean, have you met the Cintrons? I mean, really? You know, I'm just kidding. But, you know, it's just like how you are. And so when we talk about the culture of BVC, it's just how we are. This is what's important to us. It's how we act. It's how we mold ourselves. And one of the things that we say here, and we believe it and we do it, is that we give because we want to, not because we have to. And what do we say? We say, if people don't want to give, what do we say? Just keep it. We love you. We care about you. But, you know, we're never going to put sad pictures on the screen and say, give. You know, we're not going to do that. You know, we're not going to do that. Because we believe the Lord's going to stir in your heart. You're going to give as God directs you. But so a couple of weeks ago, we started a new series called Why I Want To. And so just sharing about why we do want to, why we want to give, not just of our treasure, which is our money, but our time, our talent, amen? Those are three things we have to give. We have our time, our talent, and our treasure. And so we started talking about why we want to. And so today, I'm going to talk to you about the power of priority, or the power of first, amen? And so this isn't a money message. I don't want you to get all uncomfortable and be like, oh, I knew it, church, talking about money. You know, don't be like that, all right? Look at your neighbor and say, don't be like that.
Don't be like that.
Don't be like that. This is a money message, but it's a message for you to receive, because I don't want anything from you. Whether you give or not is between you and God. So I'm not like, ooh, we got a big bill, I better preach on money. No, it's not like that. Amen. God meets all of our needs, and he uses people, but this is a principle, and there's power in priority, and I want to share that with you today. So turn over, if you will. Let's see. Psalms chapter 90, verse number 12. This is just a powerful scripture, and I just want to remind us of truth. And it says this: teach us to number our days aright, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. How many want some wisdom? I don't. That's it? The rest of you are just like, I'm good. I'm good. No, we need wisdom. A lot of times people know a lot. They have a lot of information, but they don't have wisdom. Wisdom is the ability to apply information correctly. Amen? And so we need wisdom. And the Bible tells us wisdom is free. Over in James, God says, listen, if you lack wisdom, how many are like, I know somebody. If you lack wisdom, he says you can ask for it and he will give it to you. The Bible says, upbraideth not, or without restraint. God will give you all the wisdom you need. Amen? And that's why I always encourage people, don't walk around saying, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. No, instead walk around and say, you know, I may not know the next step, but I know the one who does. Amen? I can tap into the wisdom of God himself, and he's going to help me with every step of my life. But this scripture is so good because it's telling us, number one, we need to be reminded that, you know, we have one life. You get one go around on this earth. No matter what anybody else says, that's truth. You get one go around. And how we live, we talked last week about driven for eternity, or driven by eternity. How we live this life on this earth is so important. And we only have one life to give. And so we want to make sure that we're putting it in the right places, that we're valuing what God values, and that we're having the life that God wants us to have. You know, God wants you to have a great life. He wants your life to be full. Jesus said, that's why I came. I came so that you could have life and life more abundantly. This is John 10:10. Another translation says, Jesus said, I came so that you could have life and life to the fullest. Isn't that good? God wants you to have a full life. You know, God doesn't want you sitting in a corner, you know, with nothing and no friends and no stuff and no fun and not doing anything and being religious. God's not interested in that. God wants you to have a full life, every part of your life, to be at its fullest. And so when we look at this scripture in Psalms 90, verse 12, it's saying, teach us to number our days aright. Basically, it's saying, listen, make sure you live your life with the right values, with what's important. And he says that we may gain a heart of wisdom. And so just to get you ready, we are going to talk about giving today. So just get ready for it. All right? Just get ready. We're going to do it. I figured, hey, what better day than on Spring Forward Sunday? Because that's when the diehards are there, man. That's when the diehards are there. So this is to encourage you. But just so you know, Jesus talked a lot about money. You know, Jesus, when he would minister in what is called parables. And there are stories that related to natural life that explained spiritual life. That's what a parable is. He would use the parable of sowing and reaping, which is about planting, seed time, and harvest. He taught people, listen, if you plant the seed in the ground, you get a harvest, right? And he used that to explain seed time and harvest spiritually as well. And so in all the parables, he had 38 parables that he taught that are recorded in the Word. Out of those, 16 of them are about, guess what? Money. You know why the Bible talks so much about money? Because you talk so much about money. Amen. Because I talk so much about money. Because money is important. It's important. It is important. You can't get away from that. There are 500 verses in the Bible, the whole thing, on prayer. There are over 2,000 on money. Right? And so God doesn't need your money. It isn't about the money. It's about your heart. It's about your heart. And so I'm going to talk to you today, and we're going to go all the way back to Genesis, because sometimes when you start talking about giving, there's always somebody in the crowd who says, oh, that's under the law. You know, they say it really spiritually, like, oh, no, that's under the law. No, we're going to go over 2,500 years before the law, before there was a guy named Moses, before there were the Ten Commandments, there was Genesis. How many know that's before that? In Genesis, turn if you will there to Genesis chapter 4, we're going to look at verses 2 through 5. Now this is about Cain and Abel. How many have heard of them? They were Adam and Eve's children. And if you're having trouble with your kids, so did they. They had some pretty big trouble with their kids. And so, you know, this if you're struggling like, oh, I'm a bad parent, just read Genesis. You'll feel better about yourself, you know? And so here we go in Genesis chapter 4. Now, this is how many know Genesis is in the beginning? Yeah. All right. And so he says, now Abel kept flocks and Cain worked the soil. So one's kind of a rancher and one's a farmer. All right. And so now Abel kept flocks and Cain worked the soil. In the course of time, I want you to remember that. In the course of time, Cain brought some of the fruits of the soil as an offering to the Lord. But Abel brought fat portions. Don't be freaked out by that. It just means an animal sacrifice. He brought fat portions from some of the firstborn of his flock. The Lord looked with favor on Abel with his offering, but on Cain and his offering, he did not look with favor. And so when we look here, and some people teach that the reason that God did not look at the one offering with favor is because it wasn't a blood sacrifice. But that's not accurate. It's not accurate. What I want you to see here, and what I want to show you, is the power of first. what you put first matters. What you put first is very important, because the order, write this down, the order determines the capacity. Isn't that good? The order determines the capacity. And we've done it, and I've done it, and actually I'm going to do it next week, but where you get the big jar and you put all the sand in, and then you put the rocks in, and they don't work. They don't fit, right? But when you put the rocks in first, and then you put the sand in, it fits, right? How many have seen that illustration, right? We've seen it here. We've done it here a couple of times. So the order that you do things determines the capacity, really, for your life. And if you're sitting here today and you're like, you know, my life's really not very full of things that matter. I don't feel like I'm living life to the full. It's probably because you're doing things in the wrong order. Because order determines the capacity that you have. Some people have a greater capacity than other people. Have you ever seen some people are able to go through things with a strength and a determination and a resolve that crumbles other people? What's the difference? One has a greater capacity than the other one. Some people have a greater capacity to get things done, to do things, to lead. You know, just like with Moses, some people could lead 50 and some people could lead 25 and some people can lead even more. What's the difference? Capacity. So the order that you do things determines the capacity for your life. It determines what's going to fit in here is the order that you put stuff in here. And that's what we learn here in Genesis chapter 4. It wasn't about what they gave, it was about when they gave it. And so when we look here, let's look at it again. It says, now Abel kept flocks and Cain worked the soil. And look at that next thing. In the course of time. In the course of time, Cain brought some of the fruits of the soil as an offering to the Lord. But Abel brought fat portions or animal from some of the, what's that word? Firstborn. He gave the first. He didn't wait until he had a bunch. That's kind of what it sounds like that Abel did. He was kind of like, look at all this produce I have. Look at all this harvest I have. I'm going to fill a basket and take it to the Lord. He waited till he had it, it appears, but it says here that, Abel, he brought the firstborn. He didn't wait till he had a whole bunch more. He brought the first. There is importance on first. What is first in your life is more important than anything else. God doesn't need your stuff. God's not after your stuff. You know, some people are like, oh, the church is after my money. Listen, and let's just be honest. Let's just be very honest. My profession, pastors, ministers, some have really made it difficult to talk about money in church because they've just done it wrong. They've done it wrong. But let's not let what some people have done wrong make us not do what is right. Amen? Amen. Have people mishandled finances? Of course they have. We've seen it. We've seen it on the news. We've seen it. But just because someone did something wrong, I don't want that to keep me from doing what is right. Amen? Amen? And so when we talk about this and we look at it, we got to recognize that it's never about the stuff. It wasn't about one was from the soil and one was from the animal. It wasn't about that. It was about when it was given. It was about if it was first or not. And so God doesn't want your stuff. He wants to know where he places in your life. And that's what the power of first is all about. Where does God place in your life? God wants the first of everything. That's why we're here. We're at church. You're giving God the first of your week. And the first of your day. Especially, man, you're here bright and early this morning. God wants the first of our finances. He wants the first of our time. He wants the first of our heart. He wants the first of everything. Because it's not because he wants the stuff. He wants to know where he is placed in our life. And that's what it's all about. The first principle is the power principle, because it's not about the amount he's interested in, it's about the order where it's placed. God, the whole Bible is built on the power of first. And we can look here, and we're going to look at first fruits. In Exodus chapter 20, and we're way back here, Exodus chapter 20, verses 1 through 3, the point I want to make to you is God must be first. Remember, the order determines the capacity. And if you're sitting here and you're like, I want more peace, I want more joy, I want more finances, I want more opportunity, you want more of anything, you better get the order right. That's how it works. And so here in Exodus chapter 20, verses 1 through 3, God is speaking. And it says, and God spoke all these words. That's pretty powerful, isn't it? And God spoke all these words. He says, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. God's saying, listen, you can have stuff, but you can't have it before me. Not if you want it to work right. It's the power of first. It's the power of first. And then in Deuteronomy chapter 6, 14 and 15, it says, God says, do not follow other gods. And that doesn't mean like, it does mean, let me correct myself, it does mean like, don't put a statue of something crazy in your house, you know? That's part of it, but there are other ways to have other gods before you. Anything that has more influence, more power, more attention, more love, more anything, you put a god above you. And he says, and do not follow other gods, the gods of the peoples around you. He's saying, don't live like everybody else. For the Lord your God who is among you is a jealous God. He's a jealous God. But here's the interesting thing. God is not asking anything from you that he didn't already do for you. He's not asking anything from you that he did not also do for you. Think about that. Because you know what? God himself gave, before you were even a glimmer in your mother's eye, God himself gave his firstborn son. Why did he do it? He did it to show you, to show me how much he loves us, how much he cares about us, we are so important and he loves us so much. He's saying, listen, I did for you what I'm asking you to do for me. Put me first. God put us first. He said, I'm going to give my son for you. When Jesus was on the cross and he was saying, God, why did you forsake me? That was his son. He did it to show his love. And so when you tithe, you do it to show your love. When you put God first in the morning, you do it to show your love. Not out of religion. It's not a rule. It's a heart condition. Amen? God says, listen, you can do it if you want. He still loves us no matter what. Whether we do it or not, God loves us. But he's saying, listen, I did it for you. I'm a jealous God. I don't want other stuff above me because I love you that much. Isn't that good? He did that to communicate how much he loves us. And so when we put God first, we're communicating to him how much we love him. Amen? First things reveal priority. I was listening to something the other day. It wasn't really a Christian thing, but they were given the origin of the word priority. And when the word priority came into the English language, it never had a plural. Like when we say, get your priorities straight, that really negates what the word really means. There's only one priority. There's only one priority. It is a singular word. We have changed it to fit us. But that's not the original meaning of it. And I thought, man, that and what I was listening to wasn't a Christian, or he may have been, but it wasn't a Christian thing. I was like, man, that'd preach. Because what is priority? God needs to be our priority. Amen? Because first things reveal priority. They reveal that. That's why we give God the first of the year here as a church. We started doing it several years ago. The very beginning of the year, we set aside 21 days in January where we don't do anything else. We don't do anything else. We pray and fast. Because we're saying, Lord, this year is yours, and we're going to give you the first of it. We're not going to have picnics. We're not going to have parties. We're not going to have ladies' meetings. We're not going to do any of that. We're going to just seek you. We're going to pray, and we're going to fast. We're going to give you the first of this year. And so when we put God first, because first reveals priority, amen? And so the second thing I want us to get here is we put God first. You say, well, how do I do that? We put God first by giving him the first of everything. Let's give him the first of everything. Leviticus chapter 27, verse number 30, it says, here we go, you guys ready? We're going to talk a little bit about money. You ready? Just want to get you ready. A tithe of everything from the land, whether grain from the soil or fruit from the trees, belongs to the Lord. It is holy to the Lord. It is holy to the Lord. Now that tithe, the word tithe means 10. The word tithe, it literally means 10. It means 10. And I love that God is so good, because the reason that God put a percentage on us is so we could all play the game. We could all be in it. Because whether you make $6,000 a week, somebody say, woo, glory, glory. Right? Or you make $60 a week. It doesn't matter. When you give the 10, it's the same sacrifice from every one of us. Amen? Amen? And so we're all on the same field. So never think like, oh, you know, I only made $50 this week. What's my $5 going to be? It's going to put God first. Amen? Amen? It's going to show your priority. It's going to show your priority. It's going to show God is first, and I recognize that this tithe doesn't even belong to me. It belongs to the Lord. It is holy. It is holy. And so when we're thinking, and you say, well, oh, here it is. God just wants my money. God doesn't want your money. If God wanted your money, he'd say, give me 90 and live on 10. No, he says, just give me the tithe and you can keep the 90. Because what you put first matters. Remember, order determines capacity. And when the tithe doesn't go where it belongs, the capacity shrinks. It shrinks. And so when we look at this and we think about it, then Deuteronomy 40:23, it says this, the purpose of tithing. Say that with me. Say, the purpose of tithing. Why does God request? Why does he say this needs to be first? I'm reading it out of the Living. The purpose of tithing. What's the purpose? What's the purpose of giving that 10%? Is to teach you to always put God in first place in your life. That's the purpose. Because let's just be honest. Let's say you make $500 a week. All right? The tithe is what? We're math geniuses in here, right? All right? The tithe is $50. Let's just be 100% honest. Do you think God's not going to make it without that 50? Do you think that the world is going to crumble without that 50? Do you think the light bill is not going to get paid here because of your 50? No. But that's how some people act. That's how some people act. Like your 50 is going to change the world. But here, the truth of the matter is, your 50 is going to help change the world. But more importantly, your 50 is going to change your world. Amen. Amen. It's not about your 50. The purpose of tithing is to teach you to always put God first in your life. It isn't about the money. It's about the heart. God doesn't need the money. Listen, you know, you say, all of us together as a church, as we give, we're changing the world. We're supporting our orphanage in Guatemala. Little kids got up this morning with breakfast because of you. Amen? Because of you. They had warm beds. They had a great home. They have a beautiful home because of you. We do that together. We do that. But more importantly, that tithe is not for that. We use it for that. But the purpose of the tithe is to teach you, to teach me, to put God first in my life. Because what we do first matters. What we pay first matters. And here's some good news. The first has the power to bless the rest. You get that? There's power in priority. And when you put God first, it has the power to bless the rest. And we can see that in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 6 through 10. It says, in all your ways, acknowledge him. So this isn't just a money message. It is a money message, but it's so much bigger than that. It's so much bigger than that. Because how many, we all know that we can see what's important to each of us. What's important to each of us, we can see by where we put our time, our treasure, and our talent. We could ask you to come up here, and used to years ago, we'd want to look at your checkbook. But young people, a checkbook is these little square things like this that we used to carry around. And when you go to Publix, you would write a check to Publix. People are like, that didn't happen. It did. It happened. Now we got our debit cards. We just use our debit cards for everything. If we pulled your bank statement or we pulled my bank statement, we would see what's important to you. We would see what you value. We would see what you're doing. You know, we would see that. And, you know, like for Pastor Scott and I, there are things that are important to us that have nothing to do with church or anything like that. We tithe, of course. We give offerings. But then you'd see, like, one time I went to buy our dog food. How many know my dogs are important to me, yeah, right? They're very important to me. And so they're important to me. And so I go to buy the dog food, and somebody says, how much is that? And I was like, well, it's like $50 a bag. You know, they said, you know, you can buy this big bag at Walmart for, it's only like $14. And I was like, no, that's not going to happen. That's not going to happen. I'm not going to feed. Now, if you feed your dog a bag of dog from Walmart, that's between you. That's up to you. All right. And that's totally fine. And they'll probably live longer than my dogs, you know. But the thing is, it's very important to me that I feed them, you know, what the vet says to feed them. It's important to me, so there are other things that I probably will do without because, you know, how many know there's only so much money you have?
Yeah.
You know, and here's some financial wisdom for you. Only spend what you have. That's deep. That's deep. How many of us, if we had lived that our whole lives, we'd be a whole lot better off in some areas, right? Let's only spend what we have. And so there's only so much you have, so we choose where it goes. And we choose that, and what's important to us, we're going to make sure we have the money for that, right? And so where I spend shows what's important to me, what I value. And so we have to remember, we got to get that old thinking, that wrong thinking, that because other people have done it wrong, we got to get that thinking out of our mind that's like, oh, the church just wants my money. God just wants my money. It isn't about your money. The purpose of tithing is to teach you to put God first in your life. Because what you can say whatever you want to say. People are like, oh, money's not important to me. Well, give me yours.
We'll take it.
You know? We'll see how important it is to you when you don't have any. Right? We'll see how important it is to you when somebody takes it all. I hate when people say that. Oh, money just doesn't matter to me. Really? Really? Money is important to all of us.
Amen.
Because we all have to buy groceries. You know, when I go to Publix, the cashier is really friendly, and I talk to her, and I know where she works, and I know how many kids she has, and I know all that. But you know what? She still asks me to pay.
Yep.
I don't go in there and say, you know, I'm a pastor. Because no matter if I'm a pastor or not, they're going to be that'd be whatever. Where's your card? Slide the card, lady. Slide the card, lady.
Hold it up the line.
They're not going to give it to me. Money is important to you. Money is important to me. And that's just the truth. And don't try to sound religious and spiritual. People are trying to sound all spiritual. They change their voice and they start talking different. Oh, let's be real. Money is important to us.
Come on.
It's important to every one of us. You know how you can really tell if money is important to you? When you loan somebody money and then you see them spending money. Oh, boy, all the oxygen just got sucked out of the room. Right? It just got real. Or you're loaning somebody money and then you see, I mean, that's like, listen, another little piece of wisdom for you. Don't loan money unless you're ready to give money. Amen? I mean, if it's a family member, if you can't give it, don't loan it. Because it's just going to cause problems. But the thing, see, just like that, money is important. Number one reason for divorce, money problems. Money problems, that's the truth. Money is important. And we need to quit acting like it's spiritual to say it's not. No, Jesus talked about money more than he talked about anything else. Money is important. How we handle it is important. The value we put on it is important. What comes first with it is important. Amen? It's important. And so when we look here, we recognize the purpose of tithing is to teach me to always put God first in my life. Always. And then the good news is that the first has the power to bless the rest. And it says, in all your ways acknowledge him. Honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits, the what?
First fruits.
The first fruits of your crops. How many have crops? Really, you guys have like crop, like actual crops? That's pretty, me and Selena are like, whatever. We have Publix. We have Publix. No, so it says, honor the Lord with your first fruit of your crops. Like most of us in here, we're not making a living from crops, right? We're not making a living from that. So when it says crop, it's like, that's your paycheck. That's your increase. He says, honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. Then here comes the promise. He says, listen, if you'll do it my way, then your barns, I'm going to say bank account, then your barns, your bank account will be filled to overflowing and your vats will brim over with new wine. The first has the power to bless the rest. The first has the power to bless the rest. All right, I need just a few volunteers. I need 10 volunteers. I need 10 people that have an I Am BBC shirt. Come up here. Come quick. Let's see if we got 10. We have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Devon, you can be the last one. All right, just line up here. Line up here. Line up. Look how good looking these guys are. Good looking. Devon, you get on the end because you don't have an IMBBC. All the type A personalities are going to be like, he's in the wrong place. All right. So these guys represent my crop. All right. So one, hold it up. This is my paycheck. Almost. I get a little more than this. Here we go. So this is my paycheck. Hold it up so everybody can see. So we have $10. I've made $10. That's my increase. So out of all my crop here, which one is the tithe?
First.
It's whichever one is the first one spent. That's the tithe. We're deep in here today, right? Spring Forward Sunday, and look how deep we are. It's pretty impressive. All right, so I'm going to give this to the Lord. Let's let Angel be the Lord. To the Lord. Right? Don't tell Angie. So I give that to the Lord. I give my tithe to the Lord. I return it to him, actually, is a better way to look at it, because the Bible says that it belongs to him. The first belongs to the Lord, and it's teaching me to keep him first in my life. So I just have to give him one. And then I got all these guys left. Looks, it still looks pretty good, right? Sabine, you can come sit down. You can go sit down. Thank you. You look great in your shirt. Okay. And so I still have all this. Now, because I gave this, all this is blessed. Amen? It's blessed. But if I take this first and I give it to Publix, you're Publix today. What happened to this? It's not blessed. Some people are like, oh, seriously? Seriously. 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 Or you say, well, that's Publix. What if you pay your landlord? You're the landlord. Got to pay the rent. What happened to this? Not blessed. It's not blessed. You say, man, that's harsh. I got to pay my rent. But here's the good part. If I do what's right with this, and I give it, if I return it, let's get my mind straight. I return it to the Lord because it doesn't even belong to me. I return it. Malachi 3 says, when I return it, it says that it's blessed. Now, here's what the good news is. Now that all these are blessed, they have redemption power in them. Amen? They have redemption because that's what the first fruit does. That's what Jesus did. He redeemed us. And so when my first fruit is blessed, it's given, it's where it's supposed to be. All this has the power of God in it. Has the power of God in it. See, some people, you want to pay the light bill first, and you want to pay this for. Order determines capacity. When I do everything else first, and I just give God what's left over, there's no power in it. There's no power in it. Man, I don't know about you, but I need the power of God to pay bills. Yes. Amen. I need the power of God to pay things. I need God's redemptive power in my finances. And the only way to get it is to put the first where it goes. Amen. That's the only way to give it. And then now this is just crazy talk. If I really want to get crazy, I'm going to give another one. And it doesn't have to be the whole thing. And I'm going to give it to offerings. I say, hey, the kids are going to camp. Here you go. Kids are going to camp. But that first belongs to the Lord. Because order determines capacity. Amen? You guys can go ahead and be seated. Get my 10 bucks back, though. I got another service. Got another service. Watching you. I better count this. I'm just kidding. The order is important. And so a lot of times we want to spend it. We want to pay bills. We want to pay taxes. We want to save. We invest. We want to give it away to people. And that's all. We got to do those things. How many know you got to do those things? You got to pay the landlord. You got to go to, you know, wherever you buy groceries. You got to do those things. But if I get it out of order, it's going to mess everything up. But if I do it in order, what's left up here is going to stretch. It's going to last longer. It's going to have the power of God on it. And whatever I do with that money is also going to be blessed. Amen. Turn over to Matthew chapter 6 as we close up here. Matthew chapter 6. We're going to look at verse number 24. Remember, the first has the power to bless the rest. Has the power to bless the rest. I always say this, I'd rather have 90 of it blessed than 100% of it not blessed. Not blessed. And you know what the word blessed means? Empowered to prosper. So my 90 is empowered to prosper. My 100 doesn't have the power of God on it. It's literally cursed. You ever feel like you got a bag with holes in it and that's how you're carrying your money? That's what that means. Here we go, Matthew 6, 24. It says, no one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money, or your Bible may say mammon. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you by worrying can add a single hour to his life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of those. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Let me tell you why people do not tithe. Don't use the excuse, this, and this. It's lack of faith. It's lack of trust in God. I had a minister ask me one time, they said, if you could teach your people, if you could know that your people in your church understood one principle other than the salvation message of Jesus, what would it be? And I told him, I said, the power of the tithe. Because if you can't trust God with a dollar out of 10, if you can't build your faith and exercise your faith to trust him to his word with a buck out of a $10 bill, then how in the world are you going to trust him for the healing in your body? How in the world are you going to trust him to heal your marriage? How in the world are you going to trust him to keep you safe? Right? We want to separate money from our lives with God, but God said you can't do that. He said where your treasure is, there your heart is also. And so I want to show God, man, my treasure is with you because my heart is with you. My trust is with you. It isn't about the amount. It doesn't matter if you're given six figures or given 60 cents. It doesn't matter. It matters that you're tithing, you're saying, I'm putting you first, God. I'm putting you first. And when you do that, this is the thing that people don't get. You want to separate money from your life with God, and it doesn't work. It's like when people are married, and listen, if I step on your toe, I'm sorry about this, but when people get married, they want to separate, they want to keep their finances separate. That doesn't work for long. Because when you have something that important separate, you are separate. You are separate. We're one. Amen? What Scott's is mine, and what's mine is Scott's. The good and the bad. The good and the bad. And so when we want to do that, we want to keep things separate. We can't. We can't because Jesus talked too much about finances for us to try to keep it separate. And when this is the thing I want you to get. When you trust God with something that's important to you, it builds your faith. And then when something that money can't change, listen, money can't heal you. Money can't mend a broken heart. Money can't do that. But because your treasure and your heart are in the same place or with God, you've got what you need to get through those things. Amen? It's teaching you. It's teaching you to put God first. So when trouble comes, you've already learned the lesson. God is first. When bad news comes, I don't have to run around like, I need help, I need help. I know where to go to because I've been taught God is first in my life. There's only one way to do that. That's the purpose of tithing. Let's keep reading here. He says, He says, oh, you have little faith, so do not worry saying, what shall we eat or what shall we drink or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things. Those are people without God. And your heavenly Father knows that you need them. God knows what you need. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. What's God saying? He's saying order is important. Order determines capacity. You want to have more of anything, put God first. Not just with money, that's important, but with our time. Let's put God first. Let's put God first. You know, what's first? You know, not like, oh, I don't have time to do a Bible study in the morning. That's not what we're saying. But let's give God our first thoughts. Let's give God our first minutes. Amen? Before I roll out of bed, no matter how early it is, before I roll out, man, when my alarm clock goes off, I always wait. And I just meditate with the Lord just for a minute. It's not a big deal. You know, I don't sing or nothing like that. I'm just like, Lord, I just love you. This is the day you've made. I'm going to rejoice. I'm going to be glad in it. Lord, I honor you and I put you first. It's just a whole thought process that I go through. What am I doing? I'm putting God first. I'm putting him first. When it comes to schedule, we put God first. When it comes to finances, let's put God first. When it comes to relationships, let's put God first. It amazes me that people put the single people, and I'm going to say this, I'm going to close. Single people, man, don't date people that don't put God first. Amen. It's stupid, for lack of a better word. It's just, and I don't even use that word very often. It's not bright. Because you're like, oh, I want a man who loves the Lord. Well, then date a man who loves the Lord. Amen. Hello, right? You know, I think Ben said it to me. Somebody's either bringing you closer to the Lord or they're draining you away from the Lord. Relationships matter. Let's put God first in them. Order determines capacity. We all need to do just a heart check and say, man, what am I putting before you, Lord? I don't want to put anything before you. I don't want to put anything before you. Because I want that full life that only God can bring. Amen? Let's pray together. Father, we just pray in the name of Jesus, all of us here together, Lord. I just thank you that you just speak to each of our hearts and help us recognize and know the things that we are putting in front of you. Because, Lord, we probably are putting stuff where it doesn't go. Lord, help us to for you to be the priority. The priority. Because, Lord, we know from your word, when we seek you first, your kingdom, your righteousness, that means your way of doing things. When we do it your way is first, everything else will fall into place. And so, Lord, I thank you that you just continue to speak to each one of us all this week about you being first. You being first. And with our talent, with our time, and with our treasure. Oh, we thank you, Lord. And Father, thank you so much for not asking from us something that you didn't do for us. You gave Jesus, your first and only born son. You gave him to redeem all of us. Thank you so much for showing your love for us by giving to us first. Thank you, Lord. If you're here today with every head bowed and every eye closed and you're saying, I need Jesus. Doesn't matter how you came in. Maybe somebody drug you here. Maybe you just wandered in. Or maybe you've been in church for a while, but you've never made a commitment and said, Jesus, you're first with me. I want to give you all of me for all of you. When we open up our hearts and receive Jesus as our Lord and Savior, you know what happens? Three things happen. Number one, we get forgiven for every sin we've ever done and everything. We get forgiven for everything. Number two, we receive the power to live life on this earth. And number three, we have an eternity secured for us in heaven with God the Father. If you're here today and you say, I want that deal. I want to give God all of me, all my hang-ups, all my screw-ups, all my mess-ups. And I want to exchange and receive his love, his mercy, his salvation. If that's you with nobody looking around, just raise your hand up big and tall and say, Peggy, that's me. I need Jesus. Anybody like that before we move on? I believe we're all headed in the same direction. Father, I pray for all of us that, Lord, that we would just understand and walk out the power of first. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Isn't God so good? He's so good. Hey, we're going to get ready to give here this morning. We receive an offering every Sunday.